Welcome to the Modern Jewish Girl podcast. I'm Jenna, lawyer by training, writer and teacher at heart. I was a secular girl from New York who happened to be Jewish. Then a trip to Israel changed everything as I discovered the depth and relevance of the Torah for the first time. I created this podcast to share deep, beautiful Torah wisdom in an accessible way and explore how we can integrate this timeless wisdom into our modern lives. As a wife and mother with my own personal and spiritual struggles, I know how hard it can be to show up every day with joy, faith, inner peace, strength, and clarity. I share bits and pieces of my own journey in hopes that it will help you on yours. I really want to thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, please give us a rating, a review, and share the show with family and friends. Okay, here we go. Hi, welcome back. This week, we're going to speak about Purim and specifically what this holiday can teach us given everything going on now in the Jewish world, specifically the situation in Israel, the war with Hamas. I'm going to be working off of an amazing sefer, a book called Gems from the Nesivo Shalom on Purim by Rabbi S. Binyamin Ginsburg. And this class is in the merit of a Rafua Shalima, a complete and speedy recovery for Chaya Yael Shoshana Baschana Friedel, a young girl in our community who is currently in the hospital. She should have a quick and speedy recovery, and also in the merit of a quick release of the hostages and a successful end to this war. The Torah tells us in Shemos that Hashem's war against Amalek continues from one generation to the next. And Amalek, as we know, as we've spoken about on this podcast, is a nation that we are actually commanded to wipe out. Now, we don't know who Amalek is in today's world. Obviously, we could say Hamas resembles Amalek. We don't know because over the generations, the nations have mixed up and it's not clear who Amalek is today. But there's actually a spiritual recipe that the Nesivo Shalom gives for defeating Amalek, the nation which really embodies evil throughout the generations. And he speaks about how we can defeat evil both in the physical world on a national level and spiritually within ourselves. In order to understand a little bit more about Amalek, we're going to look at the first time they attacked the Jewish people. We had just left Egypt and we were encamped at Rephidim and there was no water for the nation to drink. And the nation began to doubt, is Hashem in our midst or is he not, they said. What's interesting is that they expressed this doubt. And the numerical value of Amalek is the same as the Hebrew word Safek, which means doubt. So the Nesivo Shalom says that the doubt allowed Amalek entry to attack the Jews. It was a weakening of the Jewish people's faith that actually created an opening for Amalek's assertion of power. But he asks a very good question, the Nesivo Shalom. He says, why should Amalek be punished eternally? Other nations have attacked the Jews throughout history. Why this specific focus on destroying Amalek? And he says, it's not simply that Amalek did an evil deed or that they're an evil nation. They're actually the essence of evil in this world. And he says, how do we know this? Because look at their initial attack. What was actually their motivation? If you think about it, their attack was the height of chutzpah because the Jewish people and the world at large had just experienced the splitting of the sea, one of the greatest miracles in human history. And that's something we can unpack in another episode. I've spoken about it before in previous Pesach episodes if you're interested in learning more about that. But the Torah tells us, our sages actually tell us, that all the nations experienced it. Even if they weren't physically there, anyone in the world who had a basin of water, a cup of water, that water split. Everybody knew about the miracle. And rightly so, the nations were in awe of both God and the Jewish people. Nobody would dare attack the Jewish people after what God had just done for them, openly, except for Amalek. And what was their motivation? The Jews had no land. They posed no threat. The Nesivo Shalom says their attack can only be understood in terms of what they stood for, simply that they're the essence of evil. And the Jews were the essence of good. The Jews represented God in this world. And we do represent God in this world. That's our mission. And because of that, Amalek attacked us. Hashem obviously created it this way. He created it that the world would have these opposing forces of good versus evil. That enables free will. But this is why it's also an eternal struggle, defeating Amalek, because they are the essence of evil. The Nesiv HaShalom actually has a beautiful quote. He says, "The directive of wiping out Amalek pertains to all the permutations of Amalek, for its power of evil infects and affects so many aspects of the creation and of our lives in both the communal and personal realms. And so we must remain constantly engaged in this battle of eradicating the evil from our midst until the ultimate rectification, when there will be a final subjugation and purging of evil from this world." So let's get into it. What's the recipe that he gives for defeating Amalek and destroying evil in this world? The first ingredient is emunah, faith. Just as the doubt of the Jewish people empowered Amalek to attack, just as doubt empowers evil, it's specifically through strengthening of our faith that we rectify this failing and Amalek or evil is vanquished. And the Nesiv HaShalom speaks about two types of emunah. The first type is emunah, faith that goodness will prevail over evil. We have to have faith in the eventual triumph of good over evil. And this is embodied in Mordechai in the Purim story. He had a firm belief throughout the entire story that Hashem would not allow evil to prevail over goodness. Even though there was an edict that all the Jews were going to be wiped out. Nevertheless, he knew that Hashem was going to help the Jewish people. And how do we know this? Because when Mordechai went to Esther to ask her to help and to intervene on behalf of the Jewish people to the king, she was scared. And Mordechai said, "If you remain silent at this moment, relief and salvation shall arise for the Jews from another quarter." Meaning he was so sure that the Jews would be saved. So we need to have emunah, faith that goodness will prevail over evil. And then number two, he says we need to have emunah, faith in the infinite and unconditional love that Hashem bears toward his children. A Jew, no matter his spiritual level, is a child of Hashem. And our sages say that even if we sin, we're still Jews, like we're still children of Hashem, just like a father always loves his child, no matter what happens. It's the same with Hashem and us. We have to know that Hashem's love and desire for our welfare is constant in any and all circumstances. And we have to know that he's with us in all times, even difficult ones. As it says in Tehillim, "I'm with him in distress." God is with us even in the difficult times, especially in the difficult times. And this was the failing of the Jews who left Egypt because they had no water. They began to panic. They assumed, okay, Hashem withdrew his presence from us. So Hashem responded measure for measure by seemingly removing his protection from them to an even greater extent, allowing Amalek to come in and attack. But God was there the whole time. And this was also true in the times of the Purim story. Prior to the edict that all the Jews should be wiped out, the Jewish people had really distanced themselves from the Torah, from the mitzvot, from our mission in this world. And so God too removed himself, so to speak, took away his protection, which enabled this edict to come through. But God was there the whole time. Rabbi Akiva Tatz says such a beautiful idea that I always quote from regarding Purim. He says, "Hashem has donned a mask, but one only needs a mask when he's really very close, but wishes to remain hidden." Meaning if Hashem was really so distant, he wouldn't need a mask. You only need a mask when you're so close, but you want to be hidden. So that's what we see in Megillas Esther and the Purim story, where God's name isn't mentioned explicitly, but he's there the whole time. And our sages tell us that when the story says the king, it's referring to Hashem. So there's really like a whole other deeper layer of meaning going on at the same time as the actual physical story itself, which is really unbelievable. Mordechai and Esther had this emunah. They knew that even though the Jews had been slated to be exterminated and all hope seemed lost, they knew they would be helped. And through the strength of their emunah in these two areas, Esther and Mordechai were able to subdue and remove the threat posed by Amalek, the embodiment of evil. And we know it was Amalek at this time because Haman, who was the one who enabled the edict to go into effect, the king's assistant, he was a descendant of Amalek. Last night I heard an unbelievable woman speak. Her name is Mrs. Einav Danino. She's the mother of Ori Danino, a 25-year-old boy who was taken hostage on October 7th. And she spoke about how she does not ask questions from Hashem. She does not say, why me? Why did this have to happen? She said she actually thanks Hashem every night for this test in her life. And she wakes up every morning and thanks Hashem for her life. And this is so unbelievable. It's hard to even relate to this level. And somebody in the audience asked her, what gives you strength? And she said, I know that only good comes from Shemayim. Only good comes from heaven. There's nothing God does to his children that is bad. A parent doesn't do bad to a child. And so if this is happening to me, I know it is for my ultimate good. She actually said these words. Could you imagine? She embodies the emuna that goodness will prevail over evil, and the emuna in the infinite and unconditional love Hashem has toward his children. Can you imagine how distanced you could feel in that, God forbid, that situation? As if Hashem, God forbid, totally abandoned you. I mean, she's living through a total nightmare. She said she hasn't gotten more than 2 hours of sleep a night since October 7th. She could barely eat, sleep, shower. And yet she knows that Hashem is completely with her and specifically chose her and her son to go through this test. And that means it's ultimately for the good and it will be good, even if she can't see it or understand it. I mean, this is what we're made of. This is what the Jewish people are made of. The second ingredient that the Nesiv HaShalom says that we need in order to vanquish evil is unity. When Haman was telling King Ahasuerus about the Jews, he explained that we were scattered and separated among the nations, meaning we were not unified. And the Torah mentions how the evil side actually derives its strength from the side of disunity and discord and doubt, as we've said. The Nesiv HaShalom says that it was the existence of discord and separation that enables harsh judgments to gain a foothold. Thus, the way to vanquish the threat is by eliminating disunity and coming together in total unity. And we see this in the Purim story because Esther tells Mordechai to go and gather all of the Jews to fast for 3 days. And later in the story, the Megillah says that the Jews assembled to confront the enemy in their respective cities. So it was through the act of the Jews coming together that we achieved dominance over our physical and spiritual enemies, and we were able to achieve dominance over evil. So Purim shows us how faith and unity can really be harnessed to vanquish evil. And the Nesiv HaShalom says that Purim is a very auspicious time to defeat evil, both physically on a national level and spiritually within ourselves on a personal level, because we all have a Yetzer Hara and a Yetzer HaTov, an evil inclination and a good inclination within us at all times that are battling against each other. Again, this was created so we would have free will. Regarding unity, the Torah actually tells us that we merit personal protection by joining the community. The Nesiv HaShalom says something amazing. He says, even somebody on a very low level, even an evil person, still has hope as long as he attaches himself to a group of worthy companions. So last night was this event where Mrs. Einav Danino spoke about her son who's still held hostage by Hamas. He should be released very soon, immediately. And, you know, I was faltering. Should I go? Should I not go? And when I was reviewing this Torah that we're learning, I said, how could I not go? How could I separate myself from the community? You know, if I'm being completely honest, living in America, I think many of the Jews here are becoming a little bit numb to what's going on in Israel. And the Israelis don't have that luxury. They're living in war. And there is so much going on there with the displaced families and injured soldiers and the hostages and just a lot of suffering. And the Americans are removed from the situation. Of course, we can tap in, but we have the luxury of choosing whether or not to tap in. And so if I'm being completely honest, I think I was becoming numb to the situation. Okay, I'm saying Tehillim every night, I'm praying for them, but at a certain point, it's a survival mechanism that we have to detach a little bit. But I said to myself, this is a community event. This is an event that's really showing what's going on right now with the Jewish people. And I want to connect to that. And I want to be part of that. And I want to show my support to this woman who is suffering on an unimaginable level. it's not enough for us to just live our own personal lives and be concerned with our own personal happiness. We really have an obligation to view each other as brothers and sisters. We're part of one nation. And if somebody in the nation is suffering, we're all suffering. And I think this kind of unity, as the Nisivo Shalom says, is going to be a merit of protection for us in this war. And also, as we said, on a personal level. So what happens when the Jews are able to vanquish evil, either externally or internally? The Nisivo Shalom says that with the diminishment of evil, the Jews will have light, joyousness, rejoicing, and honor. And he tells us that the light means Torah, joyousness represents Shabbat and Yom Tov, rejoicing represents circumcision, and honor represents tefillin. And the Nisivo Shalom says that each of these mitzvot represent the special connection that the Jewish people have with Hashem. And when evil is removed, the Jews can actually connect to Hashem in a much greater degree through these mitzvot. So the Day of Purim is really an auspicious time to defeat the force of Amalek, to defeat the evil in the world externally and internally. And to do this, we really need to strengthen our faith that goodness will triumph over evil, our faith that Hashem is with us no matter how far we seem to have gone or how low we've seemed to have sunken. Hashem is always right there with us and through our unity. And one blessing that has come out of this October 7th attack is that the Jewish people have really unified. We all love our hostages. We want them to come home so badly. It doesn't matter if they're religious, they're not religious, what their political inclinations are. We're all completely unified around bringing our hostages home. So please, God, in the merit of our unity, in the merit of our faith, we should see a return of the hostages, an end to this war, a successful end to this war, and all good things for the Jewish people and for the world. Wishing you a Chag Sameach, a happy Purim, and we'll speak soon. Please, God.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe, share, rate, and review. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.